Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're going to talk economic development with Ryan Juden. He's the city manager of the city of North Las Vegas. This is part one of a two-part interview. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Ryan Juden. He has been here before, but it's been a while. He is the city manager of the city of North Las Vegas. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Great to be on the program. Thanks for having me.
And first of all, I do want to say, because people in Southern Nevada especially will know this, you've been quarantined because of COVID. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It was I was in a meeting with some folks that day tested positive. So out of precaution, they put a couple of our senior team in quarantine. I actually was able to get through a lot of emails and get a lot of things done. I think a common thing that director said is, wow, you really answer emails fast when you're in quarantine.
So this may be, the new thing is to be able to get caught up. I personally like to do that during board meetings where it's a telephone conference and I can just extract things while they're going on. But that's neither here nor there. I wanted to talk to you about diversification. And this is a topic, you were in conversation with Eli Siegel of the Las Vegas Review Journal in a major article that was entitled Las Vegas Faces a Steep Climb in Diversifying Away from Tourism. And I wanted to just get into a discussion with you, and I'll play devil's advocate from time to time here. The first thing I want to say is years and years ago when the city of Reno was attempting to diversify, and I'm going back 30 plus years now, I talked to the guy who was in charge of diversification for the city of Reno, and I said, realistically, how long does it take to diversify a city? And he said, 30 years. Well, I got to tell you, he was right on the money. It takes 30 years from start to really getting going to diversify an economy. So when people think that, you know, things can change overnight, that's just not going to happen. And when you have an industry that is as all-encompassing as the gaming and tourism industry, diversification is a huge deal. Lay out your thoughts for me about, you know, where Southern Nevada is in terms of diversification. And with the Apex Business Park, there's huge opportunity there, but that hasn't always turned out to be successful at this point.
Yeah, I think there's certain challenges that Apex itself faces. I mean, one of the greatest challenges that Apex faces is the fact that it has multiple owners. So if you take Apex and you compare it to the industrial park in the north, where it's under, you know, one ownership, or, you know, a couple partners that are in that, it's owned by one group. Apex is owned by dozens of different individuals, and it becomes difficult to kind of move that sometimes. Think of it, if you will, if you're out of town on a business trip, it's kind of easy for you to decide where you want to go eat dinner. But then in a couple weeks, if you're with a bunch of, like if I'm with my adult siblings and their adult spouses, and we talk about where we're going to go eat, it's a lot more complex. There's a lot of different opinions. There's a lot of different thoughts of where to go, and it makes it more difficult to move that direction. So that's been a historic challenge of Apex. It's 18 miles outside of town. Whenever it was created by Congress, one of the big question marks that there was how you get utilities to it. And it seems like it's, at face value, seems like it's a fairly easy proposition. You pull utilities out to stranded land. But when you have a bunch of different landowners out there, they have to first solve the question of how much is it going to cost to bring, let's take water, for example. How much does a water line cost to bring out here? Because if it's a certain amount, if, you know, let's say it's $100 million, we can fund that. If it's more than that, then we can't fund it through the traditional SID means where we'd leverage our property to do it. So that becomes a whole nother question. And then once the landowners learn that, to find out how much it's going to cost, you have to put down about $15 million. It's easy for them to look at each other and say, so we have to put down $15 million just to see if it's even possible for us to fund a water line. So when you look at some of the complexities that are necessary in order to open up an area like Apex, it's challenging. When you look at, and I agree that diversification is not something that happens overnight. I think government in general does a very good job of planning, but they do a pretty bad job of execution. And that's in contrast with the private sector, which tends to execute sometimes better than they plan, but they still have good plans and they plan well. One of the challenges you have and that we faced coming into North Las Vegas is there were lots of plans, lots of ideas. There's always this idea of diversifying. Government has invested money in teams to diversify. And what they do is they plan, but they don't really go out and execute very often. And I think one of the things that we did is we right away gravitated towards a plan, which was essentially put together by Governor Sandoval during the 2011 session. They put together GOED, was created, SRI, Brookings Mountain West, put together an economic diversification plan for the state of Nevada. And what we did is we took, of those seven sectors that were identified in the plan, we took some specific sectors that we knew were complementary to what we had in North Las Vegas, and then we started implementing that. And I think where sometimes the challenges in Nevada have been is if you look at economic diversification and you look at economic development and investment from a state side, from the state, you can kind of go in two different ways. You can do people-based investment or you can do place-based investment. Nevada's shown that they do pretty well at place-based investment, which is incentives when it comes to land or incentives for infrastructure, or incentives for machinery. The people-based investment, which there's other states that do this very well. Virginia is a great example of a state that does people-based economic investment. They invest in their people. They invest in workforce and education and healthcare. And then what that does is that drives economic development. What Nevada has done, and it's very interesting to look at it, is even though we came together with a plan in the 2011 session, it wasn't until Tesla came on the scene in 2014 that all of a sudden a special session was convened. And for the first time, real robust economic development tools were created at the state level in order to drive enterprise to the state. Now, many policymakers would say that's not the best time to develop economic development tools. In a couple day special session where they're sort of designed towards one firm, not really towards the aggregate of firms that are out there that are looking to expand or relocate. But that's what we've done in Nevada, and we've done it several times now. And I think that what we need to do for economic diversification is we need to really look at planning, which government does very well, in executing on that plan, but not having these intervening type of Teslas or Faradays or stadiums or different things that come up that then convenes a session, creates tools that then after the session, we expect local governments to start to use those same tools that might have been created for a Faraday, but or a Tesla, and try and use them to attract other economic opportunities to the state.
All right, so and those are all fair points. But I think the other side of the coin is that, you know, a marquee name like a Tesla, and even though it failed, the idea was good for Faraday. You know, I mean, the state had no responsibility for, you know, their inability to go through with their plan. But what Tesla did for Nevada and Northern Nevada in particular was give a marquee name to a business park that gave credibility for all these other businesses, large and small, to relocate to the Northern Nevada area. And so I'm not as much, you know, and we're having a discussion here. So, I mean, I'm not in any way going after you in terms of the discussion, but just throwing out talking points. You know, it seems to me that one should have both. One should have the ability to build things for multi-billion dollar companies, but also have a structure that works for other companies. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
So just just want to unpack a little bit of that. First of all, with Faraday, as I outlined a second ago, that one of the challenges with Apex was determining how to get infrastructure out there. And the first thing you have to determine is you have to determine the cost of it. And the nut in order to do that was around $15 million is what it was going to cost to get engineering and design work done to identify the true cost of infrastructure. So even though Faraday on its face value, as far as building a factory, manufacturing and exporting vehicles, was not successful, Faraday coming to Southern Nevada was extremely successful in the fact that the structure was that they put into escrow the dollars that were necessary to plan and design and do the engineering on the infrastructure. So they invested that money, around $17 million, that stayed in the state. Because of that, now what we have is we have the Southern Nevada, Southern Nevada Water District was able to pass a package where they're bringing $250 million in assets out to Apex in the form of both water and sewer. And that's based off of that initial investment that was made by Faraday to pay for the design and pay for the engineering. So in that regard, Faraday is actually been very successful for us in North Las Vegas, because they paid for that. And then we don't have the you could say negative side of Faraday, which is 10 years they would be abated on taxes. One of the challenges we had to face coming into North Las Vegas is we had a revenue challenge. And so that was one of the things that we tried to emphasize as we were taking Faraday through the special session, is Faraday for us, as far as a job creator, was good. As far as a taxpayer, was bad, because they weren't going to be paying any taxes, because part of the package was their abatement. So therefore, we wanted to make sure that Faraday's package was about bringing infrastructure to an industrial park that would open it for other areas. And that kind of highlights, if you will, you could see, is some have had challenges with Tesla. Tesla began when they self-selected and they came to Nevada. They came to Southern Nevada several times. Their first entry into Nevada was Southern Nevada. Now, clearly, they ended up in Northern Nevada, which is fine. It's been great for the Northern Nevada economy and the state's economy, or will be once the tax abatements are done and Nevada's and Tesla's a full taxpayer in Nevada. But I think that what you have to look at as a state is you have to weigh where, if you're going to provide hundreds of millions of dollars in incentives, there needs to be a thoughtful process in how you weigh where an opportunity is best suited. And if you look at, for example, take Richard Florida, who's a professor out of NYU. And he wrote the New York Times, one of the best-selling books, The Creative Class. One of the things that he talks about in that is how it's as you transition from a traditional manufacturing economy to the new economies of today, the thought-based economies, you have to look at certain things. And he develops three T's: technology, and how well that community is with technology, how well that community is when it comes to talent of their workforce and tolerance, how diverse they are. If you took something like that, which is a formula that's worked in a lot of other places in the country, and you apply that to regionally specific to Las Vegas metro region or the Reno metro region, that formula would say that Tesla would, in the aggregate, be better if you put it in somewhere like Southern Nevada. Now, some people might be like, oh no, that's crazy. It's done great up here. But look at also what it's done as far as creating a housing crisis. How scalable has Tesla been in coming to Northern Nevada? How able are they to further expand because of limitations with workforce? Maybe some challenges they wouldn't have if they were in another area like Southern Nevada. Those are just the things you have to look at. And you have to take, you have to take all the politics and other things out of it. And clearly one of the arguments that's been made a lot in Southern Nevada is the fact that even through the 1950s, Southern Nevada and Northern Nevada had relatively the same population sizes. But then that dramatically started to change. And Southern Nevada has exploded. If you look at the three T's that Florida, that Professor Florida puts forward, they've expanded on those three T's. That becomes a very appealing place for economic development opportunities. And to some degree, the state does have a role. If they're going to invest hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars, they have a role of maximizing the return on investment for the entire state.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to hold you there because we have to make some money. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with much more with Ryan Juden after this time out.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Safety, we all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ryan Juden. He's the city manager of the city of North Las Vegas. So at the end of the last segment, you were talking about that there were potentially benefits to Tesla and to the state for being in Southern Nevada rather than being in Northern Nevada. But as Lance Gilman said on this program, because we've been having this conversation now for a couple of months, between Robert Lang and David Damore being on the program and talking about the investments in rural Nevada, Northern Nevada versus Southern Nevada. What Lance Gilman said was, it was a competitive situation that, Tesla came down, looked several times at Southern Nevada, decided it wasn't appropriate. At a certain point, the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, along with the Airport Authority of Washoe County, put up $10,000 to fly in Tesla executives to take a look at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Tesla did not take advantage of that, but were curious because of the fact that these people were prepared to put up that kind of money just for them to come take a look, came out, took a look, decided that's the place they wanted to do it. They do have the land. They do have the space. They have the privacy with the mountaintops, which they are now converting to solar. It's already one of the largest, if not the largest, factories in the world, and it's only going to get bigger. I believe that they're looking at 16 million square feet for the eventual size of that building, perhaps even 20 million square feet. So from their business point of view, they seem satisfied with that. And one of the arguments that Lance Gilman makes is that, yes, you have abatements on the taxation toward the state, but you get all of the money that is spent by the people who work there in terms of buying houses, going to the dry cleaners, laundry, gas taxes. You know, the list goes on of how much money actually comes into the economy. It's not all lost revenue.
So a couple things on that. First off is whenever each state during the time when Tesla was determining where to go, it was sort of at the very end, it was Arizona, California, Texas, Nevada, and states submitted sites to Tesla, final sites. And Southern Nevada was not submitted as a final site to Tesla. That's something that we've dealt with in North Las Vegas and Southern Nevada. So I would say that Tesla maybe didn't have the same kind of backing for Southern Nevada that there was as far as for Northern Nevada. I mean, Northern Nevada had a visionary when it came to the industrial park up there. There's no doubt about that. And the power of that vision, the power of that plan is something that will win at the end of the day whenever you have a basically congressionally created industrial park in Southern Nevada that was essentially created because certain uses when PepCon exploded and they didn't, you know, want that to happen so close to the strip and to what really is truly the economic engine of Nevada for years, and they moved it out to Apex. So that's the first thing when it comes to Tesla. And I think there's no doubt that Tesla's been successful for Nevada. But the question you always have to ask as a policymaker is, could it have been better? Could it have been different? And one of the things you can't argue with is the fact that if you look at all the state incentives that have been provided to date for businesses, that over 70% of those incentives have gone to northern counties and to northern cities. And that's something that is a challenge, because when you look at the most of the population, most of the investment that's been made in the support sector has been done in Southern Nevada, but yet 70% of the state incentives go towards pushing industry to the north. And as you just said, Tesla can have all the plans in the world to expand their footprint in Northern Nevada, but they're going to be limited by the challenges that the community up there experiences as far as housing. Is it available? What are they going to do as far as workforce? How are they going to induce the migration of workforce, a challenge that Southern Nevada never quite has? So those are challenges, is how expandable is it? And that's a question policymakers should always look at when they're using state dollars to attract opportunities, is would the opportunity, has it been successful in Northern Nevada? Yes. But the question is, would it have been more successful in Southern Nevada?
All right,
based on the scalability of Southern Nevada, you could argue it would have been.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with Ryan Juden. He's the city manager of the city of North Las Vegas. We are out of time on this show, but there's lots of more important topics connected to this that I want to talk to you about. So will you stick around for another program?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll come back and we'll do another show after this.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.